Welcome to RPG Backtrack. It's Atelier April, and I'm hyped to cover the Sophie duology and Nelki. Honestly, I couldn't be more.
More excited to have me back in the host chair? Matt, you're looking a little pixelated today. Did you change your video equipment?
Wait a minute, Sam? You're not the host. Wait until we're talking, Sophie, please. And why are there two of you in the Zoom call?
Because in our worlds, we are the RPG Backtrack hosts. We are here to talk about how Sophie 2 is the peak of the franchise. Move over, Matt!
Sorry I'm late. I was just finishing up my RPG Backtrack on Atelier April back in my world and noticed you were about to as well, so I popped into this world. Matt, why are there two Sams in your host seat, and who are these other people?
Tam? But with fire engine red hair? Oh, not you too! I'm being phased out of my own RSS feed by a whole convention of otherworldly podcasters.
Actually, the true RPG Backtrack, Matt, is a solo venture hosted by me, Kelly Ryan. I'm here for the definitive Nelki city-building meta.
Look, I don't care who's hosting, as long as we acknowledge that Plotchta is the real star of the show.
It's like a real-life Nelki crossover, but with fewer alchemists and more podcaster egos.
Is the studio supposed to be glowing green? Something else is coming through the rift.
Hello, and welcome to the Joe Rogan RPG Backtrack Experience, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. I alone am a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such top podcasts as RPG Cast, my weekly RPG news show, and Q&A Quest, my weekly RPG feedback show. Hey, who are all you guys?
Is that Joe Rogan? What the heck is he doing on my show?
Good question. I'm rich and famous and host the top three podcasts in the world. Who are all you? Ugh, maybe I shouldn't have tried all that elk meat synthesized in a giant cauldron. It's obviously caused something wild.
I'm going back to my world. I'm not dealing with Joe. Other Sam, you can join me.
I am not debating the nutritional value of poonies with him. See ya.
Ah, finally. Alone at last. Now where was I? Right, Atelier April. Let's deep dive in a girl and her talking book.
They're silly and they're goofy, mysterious and spoofy. Kemco makes them loopy, the Backtrack family. Their podcast is a blast, talking games from the past. They break down every class, the Backtrack family.
Beat. Defeat. Complete.
They trash things they abhor, and praise things they adore. They never are a bore, the Backtrack family.
Hello and welcome to RPG Backtrack, your regular deep dive into your favorite RPGs. We are a production of RPGamer.com, bringing you such fine podcasts like RPG Cast, your weekly RPG news show, Q&A Quest, your weekly RPG feedback show, and us, your bi-weekly nostalgia show. I am your host, Kelly Ryan, and joining me, as always, my podcast partner in crime, the Sophie to my Sophie, Mr. Matt Mason.
Oh, man, I don't even get to be like Sophie's mom, because she kind of had it going on.
Well, I just realized we have two Sophies and a Nelki, and I knew you didn't want to be Nelki, so it just...
Oh, gosh.
Two Sophies.
I would disappear into the, annals of history, never to be heard from again, because I didn't, put 50,000 people in the town in 15 days, you know.
Speaking of disownership, she said that she would disown me if I ever bought Nelki, and Sam walked her.
Yes, I'm here to teach you about self-respect. But yes. Also, Kelly.
Yes.
I would say Matt's actually your Plokta.
Okay.
Not another Sophie. Because I don't think you want double Sophie. Double Sophie means double chaos. Mm-hmm. And I think one of you needs to be the chaotic one, and one of you needs to be, like,
wearing a thong.
Sane one. Yes, so it's going to be you, Matt.
Yep.
Just so you're all aware, Matt wears a thong now.
Yep.
And has no boobs.
Out and about everywhere.
I do have two orange cats, so I do know chaos, but not quite to that degree.
Are we here to kill chaos?
That voice you heard was Robert.
Hello.
Different kind of chaos.
Oh, okay.
And also owner of an orange cat. I don't know how chaotic Scotty is. Josh Carpenter.
He's highly chaotic, so okay. He's got that going on.
Gotcha. And we are concluding Atelier April this week with a double dose of Sophie and a game that I've heard nothing but bad things about. I've not heard one positive thing about Atelier and Elky, guys.
What? Oh, I like the city building. Okay. I'll have good things to say about it.
Okay, you have at least one good thing.
I have at least one good thing.
Gotcha.
I think that's actually the only good thing about it.
I mean, there's that.
Had to admit, when I was pulling screenshots and saw the city building screenshot, it was like, okay, this kind of looks fun. But once again, I've heard so many bad things. It's like, nope, don't be tempted. Don't be tempted. You've got better things to spend money on.
There's a better Atelier City Builder. If you've played Meruru, Meruru's right. Still better.
Right.
Well, that'll be my Atelier next year. Even though we've covered it, that'll be my...
Do you need to take a break, finally?
I do. I tell you what, I never played Atelier Aisha, and I know there's a big sale going on now, and I specifically did not buy it because I'm like, I've done so much Atelier in the past 6 months. I played five of them, I think. I'm Atelier'd out for a while.
I also don't trust you not to play it right away.
That's the other thing. Like, I was like, I can buy it on sale, but it goes on sale all the time. Don't buy this. Play something else, for God's sake. It's been 6 months.
I agree. We're going to go back to that conversation of self-respect all evening.
Yeah. I need to get back to the variety being the spice of life. So.
You mean Dragon Quest?
Ah, I was octopathing.
Ooh, okay.
He has no Dragon Quest to play for right now.
Oh, gosh. Oh, hey, maybe I can get Dragon Quest 11 in Taiwan on my Switch 2 where it's been registered. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. Here we go with that again. 12's never coming. 10's never coming back out.
But all the 11.
All the 11. All the time. Good game, but, you know, after a while, you have to play something else.
Yes.
Thus, we talk about Atelier, and I put it aside for a year.
Hey, even though we're done with a bunch of the trilogies, including Ryza and Mysterious, we talked pre-show about a bunch of different Ateliers we could do for April next year, like Mata Kamiya or the Marie. Is it the Marie remake?
Yep, Marie came out.
The other one I was looking at. Oh, that's what I was talking to Paws today about, games that have never had a price drop. That has never had, like, a price drop on Switch, I don't believe.
It's also surprisingly rare to find in physical print.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made extremely limited copies. Because I freaked out at my local retro store when I was like, what the fuck is this? Why do you have this? They're like, you didn't know there was a physical? And I was like, no, I knew. I just didn't think it was a thing I was ever going to find.
And then you bought it.
I totally bought it.
I know when I was in Japan, I saw a physical copy that was in English because they often have that for Switch. But I was kind of having to pick between that and Baten Kaitos, and I ended up going with Baten Kaitos instead.
Marie's the one that came out on, like, 3DS, right?
No, it that's came Annie. Out on Switch.
Ah.
And PS4 and PC. Okay, Annie was the weird one that came out on DS, but they didn't really put too many Atelier games on 3DS, as far as I'm aware of.
Okay, so Marie is the point where I had already started to go, like, full digital.
There you go.
Well, Marie was the original game, right?
Yeah, because it originally started on the WonderSwan Color.
Yeah, but the remake, okay, so...
The remake is Switch,
full digital by remake, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've been our full digital person for a a few years, and that was because
Me as well.
I had kids who I lost a few games due to teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I stand corrected here. Atelier Marie Remake actually does go on sale, but oddly, it's not on sale when all the other ones are right now.
Yeah, that's
Part
always
of the
weird.
problem.
Yep. So I do need to get to that one. So that'll be something fun for next year.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's have a brief musical interlude with some beautiful music from one of these games. I don't know which. We'll pick in post. And then we'll come back and just dive right into Sophie, the good one before the bad one. So we'll be right back. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are talking about Atelier Sophie and the Mysterious Book, released in North America on June 7th, 2016. Hey, one of the first games I had played for RPG Cast, even though I did not get very far in it. and then later released on Nintendo Switch on April 22nd, 2021. This was also one of the Vita not first Atelier Vita games, the one of this trilogy that was on Vita.
Yeah, this one was still playable on Vita because this one still used the old engine. It was Fierce that had the gigantic problems and was unplayable on Vita.
So this was still using the PS3 engine?
Correct. Yeah, the whatever Gust was using beforehand.
Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, I played very little of this, and the only thing I remember is being blown away by the fact that there was no time limit, because this was the first Atelier I'd played, because I had just completely skipped over the Dusk trilogy. I was burned out on the series at that point, and then came back to this one, and it was like, oh god, I have so much freedom, and then the freedom kind of overwhelmed me a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you could just keep going forever on some of these things.
I have the unconventional feeling that I think that it's a lot of times the Atelier games are better with time constraints, that they're better when they have a little bit of a structure to play through rather than just like letting you go and do whatever. I tend to enjoy the older ones that kind of like where you have these discrete goals stacked along at certain time periods.
Yeah, because part of why I bounced off of this game was because I had bought it brand new. And the way that you discovered recipes was pretty much just finding stuff at random. And I kept getting stuck. Like, there was at one point where you had to look for a bookcase to find the next set of recipes. And I felt like I looked for every bookcase in the game and couldn't find it. And it was one just kind of tucked off the beaten path. And I remember messaging Paws when we still had Slack, being like, hey, this is where that bookcase was. And she was, still she at the time, but thank you so much, because she got just as stuck as I did.
Sophie one was incredibly obtuse in how it wanted you to do things, and it was one of those games where I reviewed it, because of course I did. And it was one that I really struggled with, because on one hand, you know, the novelty of not having a deadline was kind of nice, but it was the fact that they didn't know what they wanted to do without the deadline. It's like, we're trying this thing. We're going to make it like Atelier Creed, where you have an open world, do what you want. And again, not quite sticking the landing. Like, you see the idea, you know, the idea could be good, but they weren't there yet. Especially when we talk about its sequel, where they kind of get it right, because they've had multiple tries to do it. but there are things I really did like about Sophie. Particularly, this is where we got Alchemy Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I think, one of the best iterations of the alchemy system. And again, was it perfect in this in this humble beginning? No. Was it really fun and you could waste a lot of time? Yes. And I absolutely wasted a lot of time.
Well, that's what I like to do at Atelier, waste my time on
exactly.
And I mean, that's the fun.
Yes. But a lot of the changes that this first game kind of introduced, I admit I didn't like a lot of them. I didn't like the battle system very much. I thought it was too hands-off. I really didn't like the lack of focus in the game. That really bothered me, like to Josh's point about having structure. This game actually needed it because you do a lot of meandering and you do a lot of, I'll figure out eventually what I need to do next. And for me personally, I need structure or I go a little crazy. So like, I found that very difficult. And it's the same with the game's story. Like the characters in Sophie's world are wonderful, but they don't start wonderful. They start kind of basic and kind of boring, except for Sophie and Blockta. And then because she gets to be a part of everybody's journey as the series goes on, Sophie gets probably the best amount of growth out of anybody. And it's kind of wonderful because here you see, like, she's not exactly competent yet. She's not exactly, you know, sure of herself. And while she gains confidence in this game, there's still trepidation. Whereas, you know, when you move to Fierce, Lydia and Sewell, and then eventually her sequel, she has become such a confident individual. And again, I love me, you know, a weeb. Like, just, she could not get her shit together. And she was a mess. And she was openly a mess. And that's part of Sophie's charm, is just, she is disorganized. She is a little chaotic. But she's there when it counts.
I loved the plots when they were, people had to come clean her house for her.
Yes, because
of the knight. What was his, didn't he come a couple times? Julio?
Yes.
Julio came and just cleaned her house.
Yeah. No, and he was a babe. Not much else, though. but yeah, like, again, the characters are good. It's
you
just,
like Oscar?
Well, Oscar's a little shit, so of course I do.
I could not stand that guy. I was like, oh, I couldn't wait Oscar's to get him.
Oscar's a little poop face, okay? Like, truthfully, like, I think my favorite character in Sophie, outside of Sophie herself, was Fritz. And that's just because he was kind of ridiculous. He was like a puppeteer samurai, and it was like, what the hell is that combination? But okay. And I liked Monica. I do remember
Monica, yeah.
Monica was adorable. Yeah. And I liked Blockta.
Oh, but I like Blockta. Yeah.
But I don't
kept waiting. I'm like, when am I going to get her body and her be a playable character? Because, you know, she
wants her to be playable.
Off, yes. She starts off as a book. That's the
whole gimmick.
That's the gimmick.
She's a There's sexy a erotica book. Novel. You know,
it was a neat song. Idea the way they you know, basically you, as you put new recipes into the book, Plakta gets more and more of her memories back. It was a neat to see.
Yeah, it
was a good, you know, the plot at the beginning, that was where I like that. Yeah. Filling up quests, fills up progress for Plakta to remember more. I like that part. And then even the second part where I feel like second act was you're doing all the different side missions to make different parts of Plakta's body.
Yeah. And I mean, again, it's all interesting, but the game, for me, the pacing was the actual problem, right? Because, again, finding new recipes and stuff, there was a lot more trial and error than just,
definitely.
You know, I found an object I thought to thing, you know?
Oh, it, I
there
definitely...
There was a little more to it.
Yeah, the book, I felt like the book sometimes was very specific and then sometimes was just no way.
Yeah, not specific enough. Yes.
Oh, gosh. And I mean, I spent a lot of time on game FAQs looking up stuff because every time I'd Google something, that's where it would take me to somebody else being like, how do I get this? How do I open this? So
I wish
I mean,
I had
luckily
that.
Years later, I had that ability.
Yeah, I did not have that.
But I had to use it a lot more on this game than many other ones.
Yeah, I had Derek Heemsbergen from RPG Fan, my trusty Atelier reviewing bestie, who we would send messages to each other because I'm like, he'd be like, I'm stuck. I'd be like, okay, do this. And then I'd be like, I'm stuck, do this. And it was the only way both of us got through it.
I mean, there were some things that I never unlocked because even looking up how to do it, I couldn't do it. Like there was something like I had to do it at night while lightning was flashing in this one zone.
No.
And I went there and the lightning was flashing and I beat the enemy and it still didn't drop what I needed it to. And I was like, oh, dear God, forget it. Do I really need to maximize everything? No.
Maybe.
It was like a mid-tier healing item. Like, okay, I've already opened the whole next. I've already flipped the page. I've got the whole next page of recipes. So I missed one the one before. It's fine. I'm good.
You'll live.
Yeah. I think I maxed out the first two pages of recipes. And then, like in a lot of games, I always go into it with that. I can do everything. And then 20 hours in, I'm like, do I need to?
Yeah. Like, have I done enough? So yeah, like, again, Sophie, to me, like, it's a good game. It is not memorable for me. Again, great ideas, interesting characters, but just, I will say, like, I remember liking the music a lot in Sophie, and I do remember liking how it looked. Those were very exciting things. Also, I mean, this was the first one, I think, and I could be wrong because my brain is mostly Tim Hortons smile cookies right now. everybody could use items, like synthesized items.
Yeah.
Which
yes.
was kind of neat. Like, it was a nice helper, given how bad the battle system was.
Well, I mean, that's always been the thing in the earlier games is, you know, almost like your equipment doesn't really matter. The key to actually doing well in the battles is, creating the really awesome bombs.
Oh, yeah.
The really awesome items. And that's the key. So the fact that you could actually equip that on everyone made it much more easy. Yeah.
Yeah, stats don't go up. Leveling up doesn't do much in Atelier games.
Yeah, you don't grind your way through the Atelier game.
No, you alchemize your way through. Like, I remember every Ryza game I just made ridiculous once I got the big bombs, and especially in that battle system, you could use them like every turn. Like, you weren't running out or anything. Not every turn, but every once you built up the gauge. I did like, this was interesting that once you hit level 20, you didn't level up anymore. And there were just all the different ability points that you could put into different abilities. And speaking of stats, some of them were pretty big. Like, I raised Julio's defense by 50, Sophie's attack by 50. And like, when I did that, that was like a good 50% jump. Like, their attack was at 100 and something was at 150. Like, whoa, no amount of leveling was going to do that.
No.
I also liked the we're part of the game. Part of it was making new alchemy pots.
Yes.
There was a lot of different pots. You kept making different pots. And if you made the pots better, you could do the play more Tetris better. Like, if you did a pot well enough, then you could flip the pieces. And if you did it even better, then the pot would level up and you could rotate the pieces. So,
I think that's probably the saving grace of the game for me, because the gameplay or certainly the battle system was kind of like a little below average for this series. And the story was okay. And the story and characters was fine. But I mean, the alchemy system was so much fun that it kind of like saves, you know, all some of the other, you know, not as great sections of it. Because I can always get sucked into an Atelier game, kind of like min-maxing things, coming up with ways to make ridiculous weapons with all kinds of crazy, in crazy elemental attacks. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Those are always, you know, building all that different stuff. I mean, I'll say it now because I might forget going through my notes here later when we talk about funny events when our memories. When you make Plakta, there is the one girl who does the clothing and makes your armor, and the seamstress that stands outside the bar there all the time. And she, I wrote down, why did the clothing girl make such a thong back for Plakta when she's making the doll's body? Like, what? Why? Why did you make it a thong? And she even comments on it at some point and stares right at Plakta's ass. I didn't write down what she said, but she says something about it too. And I'm like, oh, geez, it was enough for me to comment on.
It's like, I need to point this out because this is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even give you the normal, like, oh, I was just conserving material.
Which we almost never do on this show.
So I, you know, you get to once you have Plakta, you're trying, and actually I think even a little bit before, you're trying to get the Cauldron of Creation. That is something that is a main driving throughout the whole thing. And Plakta remembers that, you know, she beat someone 500 years before. And then, like, there's just some two weird kids throughout the whole game, and they turn out to be, like, the big bad guy. They kind of came out of nowhere. I remember seeing them a couple times, and I'm like, what are these two kids about? And all of a sudden they reform into Luard.
Yep.
That was, which apparently was Plakta's best friend growing up. They grew up together and they started doing alchemy together to help everybody. There was a, was it a famine or a drought? Maybe the drought led to the famine in their town. So that was why they started doing alchemy to save their town when they were little.
And we learn about him if you play Lady and Sewell.
Because
we get his character in that game.
Yep.
Who also wears a thong.
Why mysterious?
The Talia games like thongs. I don't make them.
Thong, 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 thong.
So eventually, I thought it got hard at this point. There were it was said enough times that I was like, "Are you kidding me?" They keep talking about, "Oh, there's so many more monsters around. Oh my God, there's so many more monsters." And I'm just thinking, like, what, you know, what I've done for half the game? Go out and kill monsters like every frickin' time. That's all I do: alchemy and kill monsters. Yep. Like, what do you mean? There's more monsters around?
Never stops.
So, yeah, there's a couple different forms of alchemy going on in the world, and apparently Luard wanted to take the easy way out and do the bad version of alchemy that drains life from surrounding areas, and Plakta had ended up defeating him long ago, and you go beat him.
Friends you made along the way.
Yep.
You know, you saying all the plot out loud reminds me that the game wasn't that interesting.
No, I'm kind of like, just like, yeah, that was it. I mean, even my notes kind of trail off near the end. It's like, you know, they were friends, you know, somewhere along the way, he wanted to do everything. Plakta defeated him. Time for me to go beat him. Oh, this is about the time. Oh, this is where. So this is where I realized I had made a mistake in the game for quite a while, because I died quite a bit in this game. Died quite a bit. I'd go to a new area and I'd be dead in the third battle. Well, that's when I realized I had an item equipped, because when you were out in the zones, items would respawn. The item spots would respawn. Time would change. Time would go on from morning to night to whatever. Monsters would change. And the more you fought and the more you picked up items, like, a gauge would go up, so that the monsters got harder, but the items got better. You could find, like, more rare items or something like that. And apparently I, very early in the game, equipped an item that made that happen faster. So I want to say there were, like, 5 levels to each zone that you would go to. And, you know, usually after 2 or 3 battles, the level of the zone would prop up and go up again and go up again. Well, I remember it happening super fast for most of the game. Like, I'd fight a battle and find 3 things, and suddenly the zone would be on difficulty 3 out of 5. Like, I could not clear the area. I wouldn't get in more than, like, 3 or 4 fights in every little zone before I knew I had to leave, because it was too hard for me to battle anything. And towards the end of the game, when I finally took that stinking item off and was like, oh my God, this is how it was supposed to be. I could spend more time in zones and not get, like, just destroyed. And I just remember it was like the panther monsters. One of those, the recolors of those, was just so difficult. Anytime I'd see one, they'd come up, like, as the zone got to its hardest level at every point. And I'm like, I still want to find a few more items, but before I get out of here, I gotta move out of the way or that thing's gonna kill me. And then, yeah, towards the end game, when I took that item off and I was like, oh, I can actually get in, like, 7, 8, 9, 10 battles and I'm not dead.
Yay! Can we talk about the good Sophie game?
We can. So, Sophie wins. Yay, the end.
Then she gets a sequel.
So, was this sequel announced before or after the Lua game that kind of established that direct sequels to the games were a thing?
It was after, because this was during the Ryza time.
Yeah, gotcha. This came out during Ryza.
Yes, this is Atelier Sophie 2 in the Ryza engine with Ryza gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
You're right, because I was interested in the series at this point, and I'm like, Sophie 2? What the heck? Had to go back and Google. I was like, oh yeah, apparently there was a Sophie 1.
So Sophie 2 is good.
Yeah, and I remember commenting, because I think we had an interview on the site, and I think I submitted the questions like, what was sort of, why did you all decide to go back to Sophie?
Because the answer.
I don't remember.
Quick, pull it up. If you're going to start that discussion, you have that article ready. I'm just.
Sorry, this is me. I'm very much off the cuff for these things. You guys know this.
I mean, whatever it was a great idea that they went back to this.
I think, like, part of me wonders because.
I'm pulling Sophie's, up the interview while you guys.
Continue. Sophie, because Sophie won, it just kind of ends. Right? And it's not a very exciting ending. So it's kind of nice that, like, we get this sequel, and this sequel, it starts really fun. Like, Sophie gets pulled into another world with Pacta, and I don't know. I just, again, weirdly, there's a lot you can do with that, right? Like, with, like, a portal fantasy. Just, here she is! And then she's like, oh no, I have to help this tree and these people. And oh my god, her side characters this game were so much better.
I mean, I had to laugh at this because I expected it to be after the Mysterious Trilogy. I actually played this one after I'd done all the Mysterious Trilogy and had no idea that it was a midquel. It was like right after Sophie won. It was not Fierce, you know, Fierce and Lydian Sue hadn't happened yet. It was, hey, you know, couple months afterwards, her and Plakta take off. Like, let's go leave our town and go see what the world's like. Because when you meet her later in the other games, she's like this big person who's passed the exam, and she'll help you get through the exam and help you do this and whatever. She's the role model, where here she's still just, okay, I did all right. I just want to help Plakta. That's all she's got going on. But like, she grows. When you talk about character growth, she grows a lot in this game.
Okay, so I got it up. So yeah, we did ask, what made you decide to go back to Sophie's story for a sequel? It's like, well, to begin with, I'm really happy that the Atelier series will celebrate its 25th anniversary this year. And I was thinking about what kind of game should create to kick off this memorial year. The Atelier series is a series that has always moved forward with our fans by our side, and so we decided to review reactions to the games on social media and also conducted a popularity poll online. Also, the use of a returning protagonist after the release of Atelier Ryza Ever Darkness and The Secret Hallout was very positively received, so we began considering a story about Sophie and Plakta. In addition, Sophie was just getting her start as an alchemist in Atelier Sophie, became a teacher of alchemy in Atelier Fierce, and grew to be an extraordinary alchemist in Atelier. Is it Lydian? Lydian.
We just call her Sue.
Sue.
Probably and right. You know.
Obviously, during all that growth, Sophie and Plakta must have had many experiences. So we thought everyone would be surprised and enjoy seeing one of those experiences as a sequel and new game. And in the end, we selected Sophie as the protagonist.
All right. You know what? I agree with that. I mean, she's a good choice. Again, especially given this game comes after, like, in terms of when it was made, comes after Fierus and Lydia and Sewell. Like, at that point, we've seen Sophie's growth. So it's nice to kind of be in a middle adventure where, you know, she's built her confidence, but she's not that strong person yet. It's almost like this is the story of her coming into that. And it is absolutely phenomenal. Like, Sophie 2 is how you fix a game. The battle system is fast. It's engaging. The new cast of characters. I loved all of them, actually.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't one I didn't dislike. And they all had really interesting storylines, too. And I mean, Cornera is always there. She just wants you to help her make money. Alette also wants you to help her make money. She's a little.
There was a lot of help me make money. Well, yeah, they're in this dream world, like you say. They're walking through a forest, come to a big tree, and Plakta gets like sucked into the tree, and Sophie goes after her. And when Sophie gets there, Plakta's not there. Like, what's going on? Where's Plakta? So yeah, you meet a bunch of people, and you find out you're in this dream world of, I think it's Erdweej or something. It was a very weird. Yeah. And so we got Alette, who has a lot of boob. She's an merchant. And then, yeah, then you have more people. And you meet the local alchemist, who's also named Plakta, and is like a little kid. And you find out it's little Plakta, young Plakta, because all these people have been plucked at they've been plucked out of time because this is a world of where you can make your dreams come true. So, you know, some people might be here from 200 years in the future, 200 years in the past. Either way, they're all meeting in this town, making their dreams come true.
Yeah, my favorite spoiler of this game, because I need to spoil it, is one of the characters that you meet is Remizel, and she is Sophie's great-great-great-great-grandmother.
No, she's just grandma.
Oh, she's just grandma, okay. She's not
She's just grandma, who she knew. No, yeah, she's side-boob grandma.
Side-boob grandma, and I'm like, but I like that reveal. It was cute.
It was, yeah.
It was just such a big deal.
Side-boob grandma. Yeah.
She has a lot of side-boob
going on than Liddy did.
Yep. And I loved Diebold. I loved his story. I also liked his relationship with Elias. But
Elias and Diebold, yes.
Yeah.
You got the dual blade guides. They were both, they just wanted to protect people and be bodyguards. And they were protecting everybody so they could live their dreams in this town.
Yeah, no. And Diebold, he's got the sadder of the two stories. But oh my God, in battle, he's the powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will cut a bitch down.
His story was about he was a knight, but he had a bad commander, right?
Yep.
So he left being a knight. So a lot of times people call him a knight and he's like, I'm not a knight. I'm not a knight. Like,
yeah.
He denies it like throughout the whole game. And later on that's like his, you know, awakening later is, oh, I am a knight. Just because I quit doing that doesn't mean, you know, I don't live for those ideals and I'm not a protector of the weak knight person.
Yeah. No, he has such good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, even his reason to stay with the group, because he, in some ways, kind of doesn't need to. He kind of just chooses to. Like, almost like he knows that if he wants to make things right in the world, he's got to find a meaning first. Mm-hmm. So I quite liked him a lot. And again, in battle, his special move is so good. The dream world is just, it's interesting. And all the levels had really unique designs to them or themes. Like there was one world, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, because I know you've played it more recently than I did, where it almost looks like it's a giant fountain. There's just waterfalls everywhere. And it almost feels like you're like in a sea palace.
I'm envisioning that when you go to the world map, it's on the bottom left.
Yes.
I know that one well. And yeah, there was
beautiful.
And I liked what they did with it, that in each area you made these different things. Let's see, there was like the sun and the rain and the lightning and the gravity blocks that you would create via alchemy and use them in the field. And if you use the sun one, and I think it happened in like the second area where there was a river that was blocking your way from progressing out of the first part of this second zone. And you get to the river, and if you use your little sun block, the river drives up. And then you can walk through the dry riverbed and get to the other side and continue on. And as you go through the game, and like there's a different one that's introduced in each one. And I know that you obviously in that water palace kind of area, you got to turn the water on a lot and dry it up so you can get from here to here. There's one with lightning so that doors open, like electricity shoots through the door and opens it. There's, as you get farther on, there's ice. So, and then I will say it got a little complicated, but not too complicated. Like, I could still do it without having to look up a guide. There were areas that you had to make the sun come out. Like, it was frozen and the ice was low and you couldn't go upstairs because you could see the other side. Like, oh, there's ice down there, but I can't get to the other side because the stairs are too high above the ice. Well, you had to use the sun rock and that would make all that water turn liquid. And then there'd be a lever that you could make more water pour in, and then you'd have to go and turn it to frozen again to get the ice higher up. And it all worked together very well.
Yes, I agree.
There weren't any times that I was, this is ridiculous. And you had to go recharge those sometimes you only had a certain number of charges. And I mean, if you did alchemy well, because I mean, this was the best form of the Tetris alchemy. If you did the alchemy well, you could get like 25 or 30 uses out of those items before having to refill them.
Yeah, it was actually pretty generous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, I very rarely got out in the wild and ran out of charges, because anytime I got down to single digits, I would just go do the alchemy again. The items that it needed to do that alchemy were not rare or anything, so you were fine to just do it whenever you needed to.
No, lots of good ideas here.
Mm-hmm. So, like we said, Plakta's not there for a while, the older Plakta. Turns out that Elvira, the goddess who created this dream world, accidentally sucked in both of them, because she wanted to find out why was Plakta's soul in a puppet body. Like, this is interesting. There's somebody walking by my little dream tree that their soul is in a puppet body, not a real person. So the first half of the game is going to find her soul and going to these huge stones in various places that help keep the dream world held together. And yes, in the water zone, you finally get Plakta. And when she comes back, and now you've got two Plaktas, you got Alchemy Plakta. This Plakta decides that she's going to become the mayor of the town. Like, yep. Just okay. Yeah.
She wants to be the mayor.
Yep. She's elected mayor of the city. And we need to figure out, because there's every time you go to one of those big crystals to hear Plakta's soul and try to find out where her soul is, there's always a big version of a monster that you've somehow encountered before. And it's a boss fight. You know, each one causes a boss fight. But even Elvira doesn't know why all these monsters are like this. So different things are happening. And Plakta's like, you know, I'll take care of the city because whatever. And, you know, in like every Atelier game, there are lots of little times to meet people and have your little talking stuff. And I made a note here that when Plakta became mayor, I made a point to go through the city and get rid of every little asterisk or exclamation point or whatever. And I spent 3 hours doing that on cutscenes and just little tiny side quests that would happen because of that before I moved on. Got it. Big, bold words here. Holy talking scenes break. I spent literally 3 hours before I moved on with the story.
I think I did too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the big middle of the game. So, and everybody had things to happen.
Yep. They're like, do you need to know all our problems right now? And it's like, yes, I guess.
And everybody had to talk about, yeah, everybody, you know, they got a new mayor. Like, oh, the new mayor. What are we doing? Yay. Oh, and I guess I should have gone back to this. One thing I really liked is, so obviously Sophie's doing alchemy, and she starts out at alchemy level 50, so, you know, it's not a hard reset. But when you get there, little Plakta, little, you know, like 12-year-old or whatever little Plakta that's there, is the alchemist for this realm, and she can't do much, and because she's just young, and she's at alchemy level 1. And she does, you get to do alchemy with either one of them. Anytime you go to make an item, you can pick who to use as an alchemy. And they each have certain ones that they can make for. Like, a lot of the equipment, one of them makes equipment for a few characters, one of them makes equipment for a few others. But there are specific items that only one or the other can make.
Yep.
And I will tell you, I spent, because this is the best form of Tetris alchemy, I spent so much time, especially with the different catalysts that boosted different things in the cauldrons. Because this time you don't have to have different cauldrons. And I like that Sophie actually exclaimed. There was a whole cutscene where she's like, what? I don't have to change cauldrons to make different things?
Yep. That was cute.
It was a great callback to the first game. And her grandmother's like, why the hell would you do that? Just use these catalysts. You know, you can, all the things that different cauldrons would do, you could just have it happen anyway.
Look, grandma, best character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's also a hot grandma.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. She's a youngin'.
I presume so, if she's got all the side boob going on.
Much side boob.
In our last segment, I said that Sophie's mom had it going on. I was incorrect. It was Sophie's grandma. Sophie's grandma's got it going on. Yeah. Yep. Side boob grandma was the one in this game. And actually, I think, you know, other than the boys with their gigantic gun and double swords, she was my offensive MVP. I can't remember exactly what skills or whatever she had, but that she had it going on in battle too. It was like, yes, I would set up the follow-up attacks with her, because you could have six people in battle. You had like the front row and then the back row, and they could swap in and out all the time, and a lot of attacks would have them swap. And no, I liked partnering and having her do a follow-up.
Oh no, she was beefy.
Yes.
Like, we talk about, like, Diebold being the tank, but I'd argue she was just as much one. Like, she was powerful. And, like, in the right circumstances, yeah, you could really, really make a mess of the enemy with her. So, good freaking times.
So, yeah, as you get on, there are these enemies called Groll.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Groll apparently eat people's dreams. And as you're getting into like the third act and keep investigating different things and more lands, the Groll actually pop in and attack the town. And everybody in town just kind of walks around almost like zombies because they've had all their dreams eaten. Like this is, the whole reason why they're in this world is to make their dreams come true, and the dreams get eaten. And kind of later, everybody's fine again.
Yeah.
Which, yep, unbeknownst to everybody, the party, the goddess had gone and used her power to heal everybody. But to do that, she absorbs all the Droll into her, which causes problems that make the world start to get harder.
Yeah.
So you head into a desert. There's another dream stone, these big dream stones there. And oh my gosh, this is where I started to actually have a difficult time with the battles. There was some freaking woolly mammoth type that I had to fight like twice in a row. And my gosh, some of these were so hard to get through. Like the hit point pool was ridiculous. And then almost like Octopath Traveler, things in this game would have a barrier, and you had to hit their certain elemental weakness or whatever a certain number of times before they would get staggered, and then you could do massive damage. And gosh, I just remember that woolly mammoth. Every time that their barrier would go back up, like it would go up more and do some like huge area attack. And I actually dropped it to easy to get by towards the end of this one.
That's valid because the last half of the game is surprisingly rough. Like, it's
And it
not
was,
bad, just she's tough.
yeah. No, and I alchemized as much as I could for quite a while. And my goodness, yeah, after a while I was like, I have alchemied to a certain point, and like I'm finding these barriers to be, and the hit point pool. Like I know the drill. I just can't survive the drill long enough. Like if I could get three good big attacks off in between their barriers going down, great, but oh my God, it was hard to get like three off, and it was all good.
Final boss was something else.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the goddess has absorbed all the bad stuff in the world, so she's your final boss. Got to beat her a couple times, multiple
That's the part
times.
I actually didn't like was how many times I had to beat her.
Yes, it was quite a bit.
Was kind of mean. I was like, why do I have to beat her this many times? I just want to beat her and be done. And they're like, but also, like, you could be nice to her. And I'm like, but I am nice to her all the time.
You really
Yeah,
have to
no.
beat her.
That's
Yeah,
kind of it.
and then everybody got a good ending. They decided that it was time to shut the dream world down. Like it was taking too much of a toll on the goddess to keep this dream world going forever. But I mean,
Yeah.
there was nice little scenes. Alette returned to make her fortune. Our knight boy knew that he could be a knight if he wanted, and either way, it was honorable. One bad commander did not make that. Elias with the gun, he had a great point in the middle of the game where he wanted to see his family again, even though he's in a dream world. So you make him like some sort of interdimensional spyglass so he can look in on his family.
Yeah.
And I swear they make some comment about how that could be creepy at one point. He's like, no, I just want to see if they're happy or not. So he was excited to go home and see his sisters and his parents that he hadn't seen in such a long time. Because he had missed them by viewing them from time to time. And the whole game, I'm like, golly, why doesn't Plakta remember Sophie then at the beginning of Sophie 1? Like, Sophie's basically teaching Plakta how to be a. This is the Sophie becomes a teacher part. She almost teaches her grandmother a lot, too.
Yeah.
And she's teaching young Plakta all this stuff. And young Plakta talks to old Plakta quite a bit throughout the game. And eventually, at the end, young Plakta decides she wants the goddess to wipe her memory.
Yeah.
She, yep, she's like, old Plakta doesn't remember me, so I don't want to screw up the timeline and remember her when it comes my turn to be at this. So
Yeah.
they have a nice moment and they get sent back, and Grandma Sideboob stays a while to help the goddess shut the world down. Like, you don't see her go back because Yeah, goddesses. She says something to Goddess like, "Oh, don't you need to visit all the dream crystals one more time and start closing this world down?" And they kind of walk
Nah.
off, and that's the end. It was a very satisfying end. Everybody got like their moments, and it was a lot of the things that they had been for, all the they'd made a lot of mention of the whole time. I really liked the lady that ran the, was it the cafe or the where you went to go get the side quests? She was like a bartender that served food, but like basically
Oh.
dished everything off to her, to the other
Her
guy.
assistant.
Yep.
Katrina? Yeah, Katrina. Because there was
Yeah, and
Preeka, was the other seller, I'm pretty sure. So
yeah,
yeah, I think
that
it was
did the item
Katrina and
duplication.
Gnome. Gnome was the boy.
So yeah, like you said, all the different people around them, that this was very well done.
I think this game also just does a good job of, because you have like one community hub for the whole game, you realize like there's a real community here, which is kind of unique in an Atelier game, because everybody feels even more so involved in people's lives. Like, people are involved in each other's lives in the other games, but this one has a particularness where, I don't know, like the sense of community just felt greater. And maybe it's because everybody came from different worlds. I don't know. I just remember liking just the copious amounts of dialogue in this one. But I
No,
think, again, it, with the
I spent
cast.
the time, like I said, I spent 3 hours, literally 3 hours on that one night just doing all the scenes because I knew
Yeah.
all those people and I wanted to see what was up with them, and it was great.
I like this game. Do we have to now talk about the bad one?
Consider it a therapy session.
I
The
was going to
bad.
say, I believe we are contractually obligated by
I don't want to
bad,
talk about the bad one.
poor choices we made in December of last year to cover this.
I
So,
don't.
what's funny,
Ooh.
Tam, you were just reading the Why Did We Do Atelier Sophie 2, and it was a celebration of what, 25 years?
Yep, 25 years.
And they asked people on social media like, what should we do? And blah 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 blah. Well, they came up with Sophie 2, but also they came up with Nelki.
Nelky bad.
Yep. Nelki and the Ateliers of the New World, right?
Yeah,
Nelki,
the
that's the
legendary alchemist, Ateliers of the New World.
By the way, Nelki or Sophie 2 came out in 2022. Nelki came out in 2019.
Yeah, so this game came
Oh.
first.
Okay, so I guess they asked people probably, you know what, and that makes sense. During the 25th year, they were asking people. The answer was, hey, not that shit you just pooped out.
Not Nelki.
So I don't have anything against Nelki. I don't think it is necessarily a bad game, but I, for those who've watched our streams, I play gacha games. I thought this was a mobile game. I thought this was like a ported mobile game, and that's how I approached it. Because once I got started, it's like, oh, this just kind of feels like a PC port of a mobile game. That's what I thought.
The design very much will make you feel that.
Yeah, and so like, I think because I had that mentality, I don't necessarily think it's a bad game, but it is definitely not a normal Atelier game.
No, because Nelki, who read the title? Because it's not the legendary alchemist. She's not a legendary alchemist. She doesn't do alchemy.
She's a
Nelki and the
corpo.
legendary alchemists, Ateliers of the World. Yeah.
She's corpo.
Yep.
But
And
she's
she's
hot.
disagree to disagree. Just kidding. She's also, you know, a royal that Nelki von Lestam apparently dads the some big wig back in the capital, as you
I
hear
thought she was
in
like a
no.
merchant's daughter type of thing. But like a
No, I
well-off
thought.
merchant's daughter, something of the sort.
I mean, she kind of gets sent there to be not quite the mayor because there is the mayor, but that's
I'm
basically what
building
you
out the
are.
town. Yeah, you're building out the
Yeah.
corporate town.
Yep. Yeah, like this town's pretty crap. Build it up. We're going to tell you what to do. The game is 10 tasks that her dad sets out for you.
Yep.
And this is one where the Josh, I've played all the other games that had time constraints and wasn't pissed off by them. This is one where I got a game over due to the time constraints and
Yeah.
fuck
No,
that, and I was done with
this game is
it.
terrible.
Yeah.
Like, this game has terrible consistency in everything it does. Oh my God, I was miserable.
Well, I mean, what are the things that are usually in an Atelier game. You're going to have alchemy. We're going to have areas to explore where we're going to collect items and fight some enemies. And, we're going to, make some stuff. And, like, this game doesn't have those kind of things.
No, it's a walking
Well,
simulator.
I was going to say it's all there, but you have very little to no agency in that. You tell the alchemist to make these items, but you don't really do any mixing or anything. It's just like, okay, I'll make these items. And you tell them to go walk and fight, like, oh, let's go explore this area. But the area is a left to right, like you said, walking simulator. And you can make them walk and you can make them run. And when you get in battles, you can control them. It was so boring that I put it on full auto the whole time and never once died or had a problem.
Nope, it's true. And like, considering this is, again, this is an anniversary game, you get characters all the way from the beginning with Marie all the way to Lydia and Sewell. And like, the game doesn't even like give you opportunities to really explore because everybody actually plays pretty much the same, which kind of a bummer given I would expect, a little bit more variety. You're giving me all these alchemists from different games. And it was bad.
Like you
Yeah,
said,
I
Cam,
never.
this feels like it was designed for a mobile platform, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and
The irony being, last year I played Atelier Resloriana, and that game pulled back, I don't know, pulled in 15, 20 other alchemists and people from other games. Yet it had been, it was the, what should I say? It was the sequel to a mobile title. But did it so well because it played like an Atelier game. You did the exploring. Sure, it was procedurally generated stuff and, a little bit less on that. But like you brought them in and they did different things. I played around with my team a lot in Resloriana, whereas in this game, I just put in the first five or six that you had and it was on auto the whole time. And I was like, I keep winning. Why would I even bother to switch it up? Like, who cares?
No, it's again, I question the point of that battle system.
Yeah,
Because if they just wanted to make Town Simulator, then make Town Simulator. Because the combat adds literally nothing to the game other than padding.
And
And go ahead, Matt.
I stopped doing the combat so much because you get bonuses from, and you need everybody's heart level to be higher and you need money from different stuff, so you want to get more requests in. And the game split into like two parts. One part is the city building. So every quote unquote turn, there's city building where you plop down new stuff and, tell these alchemists in this out atelier make this, and this person in this store sell this. And so you're basically setting up the production chain through alchemy and different stores. And then you have, they call it a holiday. The other half of the turn is you have, gosh, you have six time slots basically. They show 12. Everything takes two time slots basically. But you can meet with people. You can do quests just to raise their hearts towards you. There's one that just raises up their level a little bit. And then there are requests where you can accept requests from them. But each one of those takes two out of your six time slots in the holiday. And if you want to go explore, you can explore when you have the rest of the time. But exploring takes, well, if you don't run, it takes about five of those six time slots. So either you actually do the interaction stuff, which I think for a lot of people was probably the draw to the game, seeing all these alchemists talk to each other and interact with other people from other games, or you go do the walking and exploring to get more items, which you had to do to get more better items to make better stuff because you're expected to make more money. That's the next thing that your father is having you do, or whatever. Or, hey, you got to sell 20 of these coats. And well, if you haven't advanced through enough of the walking simulator parts, then you don't even have the parts to make those coats. So it was a tough, I feel like they expected you to fail once and restart.
But
Because don't you get
that
bonuses?
would require you to enjoy the game enough to really want to do that.
Yep. No, I failed about 25 hours in, and I want to say like on turn 86, 87. And I was like, nope. And I knew I was going to fail like 8 or 10 turns before it because there was nothing I could do to manipulate it.
No, and that's it. Like, it wants you to fail, and yet at the same time, you're just kind of looking going, but I'm already bored.
Yep.
Like,
Oh, that was, yeah.
I'm not excited. Like, the holiday scenes were kind of cute. Like, we bitched about Furious 2 weeks ago, but she gets like some of the cutest stuff in this game, actually. Like, just some of the cutest moments. I also love, I actually put the screenshot in the review, and it is Klein from Iris. He builds a giant jumbo chest. Because why do you want to play chess, but in jumbo form? Like, why not,
Oh yeah,
right?
I built that thing. Yep.
And it's, again, like, it's quirky, it's cute, but again, it doesn't give you much to work with. One of the lines from the review I wrote, this one kills me. It says, "It's so boring. It's so boring that players can scroll through their Twitter feed and not die during combat sections. Walk around, do a battle, then walk some more is an example of lack of creativity, creating lack of engagement on the player's part. There's no incentive to want to grind or do combat sections because they feel out of place to begin with." Like, this game! I'm rereading this and going, wow, I was so mad when I wrote this.
I can imagine because I'm mad now. I lost this game last week. Like I lost. I could not beat
No,
it.
you were mad. Like, you were
I was mad
genuinely mad
because,
when I talked to you.
and I'll tell you what, I decided early on I wasn't going to engage much with the talking, all the everything. Like I would just I turned them on, hit auto, and let it blaze through. I've met a third of these people because I played so much Atelier recently, but it's got all the Mana Kamina people in it. I knew none of them. Marie, I didn't know, and I had not done the Arlen games. So there was a big chunk of the people, that maybe about half the people that are there, and I just didn't know them. So I was like, I also we're coming to, hey, we're having this podcast, and I'm not really enjoying it. I couldn't care less about the battles. I couldn't care less about the exploration, which is pointless. The city building's okay. Let me just keep doing the city building. So I was fast forwarding, trying to get through all those talking points and just basically doing the heart talks because I knew I needed the people to. You can research different things. There's research trees, but a lot of the research trees only open up when you have the right heart level with the alchemists and the number of items. Well, the number of items I can make sure I had, I just had to get those heart levels up. And I was pushing through. I wouldn't say I was enjoying it, but I wasn't very annoyed. And I got to where I thought was going to kill me, the seventh, eighth. The eighth quest was, hey, make $3 million. And I'm like, what? I had 20 days to make $3 million. And I'd been averaging, I don't know, 10, 20,000 a turn before that. And I'm like, well, 20 turns of 20,000 is 400,000. That's like 1/10 of what I need. So I was like, all right, I gotta figure out what all the high price items are and just switch production to only do all this. And there were five sub quests for that time too. And each one were the different, because you can have clothing stores, you can have weapon stores, you can have food stores. What's the other ones? There's another one, like an alchemy potions healing stuff store. And there's a fifth one too. There's like five different types of stores you can have. And each one of them had bonuses. Like if you made $500,000, or I think it might have only been like 250 or something, if you made a certain number of money on those, they gave you a big population boom bonus. And I did make the 3 million, and I made the 3 million in like 13 or 14 turns. I had 6 turns left over. And unlike a Persona game where if you beat your palace or whatever, a little bit before the time, you still have those extra days. This one doesn't give you the extra days. It's like, oh, hey, you did it. Cool. Here's your next task. And because of that, I couldn't finish the sub quests that gave me the population boom. Request number 9 from Dad was get 50,000 people in your town. And I had 30,000. I had 20 turns. And I was getting 700 people per turn. I did the math. I'm like, 700 times 20. That's 14,000 people. I'm going to get to 44,000 people and lose this game. There was no way to boost that, no matter what I did. I went on building sprees. I opened, because you could open the town and open new neighborhoods, new parts of the town. And I was building huge stuff, and nope, there's a bar graph at the end of every turn that shows your population growth, and it was just like a tiny little slope for the entire last 20 turns. I knew for 20 turns I'm going to lose. There's nothing to do. They didn't give me those extra 6 turns that I made because I beat the last thing early, and then I couldn't do those subquests to make the extra money early and or the population boost early. So I just I sat there for 5 hours of game time knowing that I was playing to lose, and that just sucked.
It was crap. That is utter crap.
If you knew you were going to lose, why didn't you just put the game down at that point?
Because I wanted to see what the end said.
Oh, okay.
And well, I can
respect that. I can respect
no,
that
and
game.
I will say there are certain requests that could get a little bit of population boost. So I kept doing, during my vacation or the holiday days, I kept opening every side quest I could open, like every request, and only one of them had a population boost. And it was like, you know, adds 100 people to your city. So, and as it grew, I got from like, it was, you know, every time I'd get a little bit more, it was like 700, 710. By the end, I was getting like 900 per day. So I got to like 47,500. I mean, I kept getting infinitely closer, but I was like, I'm not going to make it. I know I'm not going to make it. And I kept hoping and hoping and hoping that a new side quest would pop up that would just be like, hey, get 1,000 extra people. And nothing like that ever happened towards the end. So, like I said, I didn't engage in the battle system at all. The exploring was just rote, you know, do it, hit, you know, scroll through a whatever, come back in 5 minutes, and yep, they were done. I had to laugh at the end of every single, you know, walk left to right. There was a treasure chest. And every single time they'd say the same thing. Oh, a treasure chest. I really don't like opening these things in the wild. Like, what could be in it? That's weird. Whatever she said, every time they opened a treasure chest, I was like, okay, this is the 30th time I've done this in the game. Shut up.
Yeah.
Who could have left this here? What could be in it?
I just, no. I think we need to expel this crappy game. Breathe in.
I feel very good about my decision to bail on this game after like 5 hours.
You were a smart individual, not like Matt and I.
So Josh, what did it for you? What was your breaking point?
I was just like not having a good time.
None of this.
Yeah, it was just like, I think the combat was just really pissing me off that they wanted me to do this really walking sim combat. And I just couldn't get over that.
I remember you talking about that on RPG Cast.
Yeah.
Like, this is something I actually remember years later. Like, I heard this.
What is this garbage?
Yep. Or at least later it came to mind like, oh, I do remember that this was bad and I'd heard people say it was bad.
It is bad.
And Andy was just like, don't play games you're not having a good time with. And I'm like, yes, that's good advice. No.
Oh, Andy and the 5 hour rule has been a good thing in life.
I brought who was I? There was a streamer I was watching this week and I actually brought up Andy's 5 hour rule to them about for some game. Unfortunately, there, you know, there's these people who are on quest to beat like every RPG in existence or every English, you know, official English translated RPG, and I feel bad for them because, you know.
Wow, Scar, sorry that Tam's just calling you out here.
Actually, really? It's not Scar.
It's not Scar. I know.
Okay. It's okay. I told Scar to play a really old, crappy game. He got upset, and then he's like, actually, I'm just going to put it on my list.
Yeah, I saw that today.
He wasn't upset. He was just like, why are you fighting me bad games? And if it makes you feel better, I've sent him a few as well. So, but I don't it in the staff channels. I usually just DM directly.
Nah, Dungeon Master, I was just thinking about it the other day. I'm like, man, Dungeon Master was hard. And then I was like, wait, it's a SNES game. Wait, it's not been on the wheel. And we've had Shadowrun and Ultima. And I was like, yes.
Well, some of it, too, is if he can get it working on his mini.
No, and that's fair.
There's been a few that he has not been able to get to work on the mini.
Yeah, but see, this is us not talking about Noki anymore. Isn't it great? Best conversation ever. We don't have to talk about the bad game anymore. No more bad game, guys. We deserve better.
The bad game is on sale, by the way, for $12 on Steam. No! Actually, the entirety of the Tecmo Koei library is on sale on Steam. Right
except
now.
The Marine remake.
Yeah.
I don't know why that one is so not compared to the others. It's on a different schedule.
Ellie, as we talked about, though, two of those games that we are talking about today, probably worth your money.
Oh,
One of
actually.
those is you not having self-respect.
Right.
Actually, there's a few different games not on the sale. Blue Reflection is not a Second Light is not on the sale on Steam. I would hold off on that anyways because they announced that for
The
all
collection, yeah.
yeah that collection with the two games, the mobile game, and the anime.
I don't want
I do.
I'm
Ars Lyn, the
glad.
Warriors of Legend, not on the sale. So there's like two games not on the sale on Steam.
I didn't like Blue Reflection the first time, so this is one of those Gus games I'm happy to be like, I'm good. I'm out. Grandma's got other stuff to play. Like RoboCop.
I think I heard the second game was better from our review from this.
Yes, from Lewis.
Yeah.
Luis. I proofed that review, so I remember it being better, but I was just like, no, this game makes me uncomfortable because it mostly just looks like child porn. And I just, ugh, was not for me. It was not for me. Also, Grandma's getting tired, guys. I'm sorry.
You're fine. I mean, we at least got through the
We got our
games.
games.
Yeah.
I left one thing in the memories because I played Nelki at TGS and I was like, oh, it looked so fun. And then I was like, wow, I was wrong. All right, but I'm
Demos
actually
can fool you.
so true. Oh my God. Oh, I'm watching Canadian hockey on the feed. There's Smile Cookie. Good job, Matt. Thank
Yep,
you.
I glanced to my left. I'm like, wait a minute, I see Smile Cookie.
It's
Sam's
like
got
now
my
you know
Smile
what it
Cookie.
is.
Yeah.
Is that like Crumble Cookie in the States?
No. This is so before I go off. So Smile Cookie is a once a year event in Canada, and it happens at Tim Hortons locations, and they are chocolate chip cookies that get ridiculous fondant faces, like just icing faces.
Okay.
They started as a way for Tim's to connect with communities and different nonprofits. And so, like, you fill out an application and they choose which nonprofit they want to support. And my library this year was the one for the town I work in.
Gotcha.
So that's the thing. Like, a lot of people can, like, a lot of towns, especially small towns, if they only have a couple of Tim's, they can get quite a bit of money. But, like, for example, in Toronto, they're doing the Boys and Girls Club of Toronto. That's every Tim's in Toronto. So they will easily make $1 million
Okay.
easily. Because the cookies are, they're $2, and you get all the proceeds if people buy them. So it's pretty rad. But that's what I'm
Yeah.
doing. I'm making ugly ass cookies tomorrow. So I got to get my baking, my icing hands ready to go. I can't ice things for shit. So this is going to be again. They're gonna, as I said to you earlier, Kelly. They're going to be blippy, blobby, and Sir Blippington.
Hey, as long as they're tasty.
I don't like a lot of things that Tim's makes, but their cookies are actually pretty good. They're nothing fancy, though. They're no crumble cookie. All right. Thank you guys again for having me. You guys can do
Always,
your
Sam.
roundtable as usual without me. It's always a pleasure, everybody. And I'll see when I can come on next. If you need a pinch hit for something and I'm available, I'll see what I can do.
No
Better
worries.
start
Happy
playing
to
some
have
dungeon
you.
crawlers.
Hell no.
Technically, our next grab bag episode is the minor tactical grab bag.
That's
I don't
true.
know.
You're right. No, it's the basically the mysterious dungeon ones. I said dungeon
True.
crawler, and yeah, it's mysterious dungeon.
True.
But all right.
We
Talk to
just
y'all
had
later.
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
We just had Pokemon and DQ Mystery Dungeon, so I wasn't sure how themed they were, if they were going to include
We
pretty much
can
anything, particularly
include pretty much anything.
the Dragon Quest one, since I think technically there's only one of those that's actually in English.
There is.
But yeah, I do believe you're ready for the roundtable, unless anybody has anything else they would like to add.
Not really.
Okie dokie. Well, we're going to take a brief break and then we'll be right back. And welcome back to RPG Backtrack, where we are doing a truncated roundtable because everybody kind of said most of their favorite things during the main event, if there were even favorite things in the case of Nelki. But I did have a
Sam had a positive thing there somewhere. She had an interaction or two she liked.
Well, you two introduced me to a new thing that's now my favorite, Side Boob Grandma. So I'm going to gonna have to play Sophie too for that.
Yep.
But I did have a question that I did not get a chance to ask during the proper cast. This was going to be the wild card question. How would you fix Nelki?
Well, Josh, I'll let you start. What would have gotten you to play longer than your 5 hours?
I needed more atelier in it. I needed a little bit more alchemy. I needed a little bit more connection to it. Like, I wanted a little bit more combat. Like, that really, really drove me nuts that I'm playing an atelier game and there's no atelier in it. What's an atelier in my atelier game?
It's like atelier literally does two things well, combat and atelier-ing, alchemy. And you know, in the case of Yumiya, I thought the alchemy kind of sucked, but the combat more than made up for it.
Oh, and the exploration made up for it too, because there's so much to explore. Yeah, so you're right. You had a couple other things to do.
Yeah, if you don't have one good thing, you kind of don't
have to hang your hat on something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the town building was okay, but I don't think that was enough to kind of like build a game around. This was not SimCity.
Correct. Correct.
I put a lot of hours into SimCity. It honestly reminded me of Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a King. Which I enjoyed, though. I enjoyed that. That was fun. And I want a port of that, damn it, Square Enix.
Yeah, the way that you guys described it, it sounded like kind of like the town building in Ni No Kuni 2 to me.
Mm.
But I could be wrong or getting the wrong impression. Obviously, I haven't played the game, so I don't know what to compare it to. But it sounded like they hung their hat on that, and even that was mediocre at best.
And you're right. I mean, this was a celebration of Atelier, so we're going to celebrate Atelier by not giving you Atelier?
We give you the characters, which gets back around to the thing where it feels more like a mobile game that's not even done well. But it wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, so as I mentioned, the Res Liriana game, that game has quite a few people all get sucked into this world. And it was the standalone sequel. Like, I know I was confused last year about it. I thought it was going to be a port of the mobile game that they had out there, the White Witch and the Red whatever. And I know Josh, you and Tam and others more than once were like, no, it's actually a brand new game. It's just
I initially thought it was going to be a port too, but no. So the gacha game was Forgotten Alchemy and the Polar Knight Liberator.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the one you were saying is the actual game.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's a sequel to that Atelier. It mentions it's like, hey, you know, on the other side of the world, some big ass thing happened last year. Like, that really. And it even uses it. It's like, oh, yeah, there's some big explosion up there. And because of that, we don't have a lot of resources from the capital. So we got to do it all ourselves. And you kept opening rifts and people kept coming in. Like, you had Maruru and Rorona, or I can't remember who showed up, but I recognized almost all of them. They didn't do the older games. It was more of the more recent past. But they did alchemy. You did alchemy. And those people joined your party. And the battle system was, you know, not the best, but it was good. It was no Sophie 2, and no Ryza, but I was close. Like, they did it right. They're like, okay, let's make a celebration game. We're at year 30. Is this a celebration game at all? I don't even know. 18. So what, Nelki came out in 2018, you said?
2019.
So Res Liriana would have been 15. So, I mean, you know, maybe they thought about it like that too. But it brought a bunch of other alchemists into it. Kind of like Nelki did. Just like they just popped in for almost no reason other than to be there. And they did it well. Like, I mean, at least they learned their lesson. But yeah, that you're right, Josh. There was just very little Atelier in Atelier. Sim Atelier.
It certainly was not what I was looking for. Yeah, and in a game celebrating the series.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very strange choice.
As I said, it It felt like when I played it, I thought it was just a mobile game port. I really did.
And maybe it should have just been that. Like, hey, you want to celebrate Atelier and just talk to people over 20 games? Cool. Pick out your phone, do a lot of talking, don't engage with anything because that's half the game is not engaging with it. And there you go. Watch TV, play your Atelier, hit pause, listen to them talk a little bit, and that's it. And the fact that I gave it the time that I did, and then just to have it like 25 hours into it be like, nope, you lost, try again, and restart a 25-hour process. Like, Josh, you said it when we were in between takes, like, that this is not a 2020. Well, I mean, it's not even a 2018 thing. Like, that should not have been the case. There are too many games out there. You can't just you lose 25 hours. And it's Atelier, come on. These games are supposed to be a little bit cute and forgiving and whatever. I
Lighter,
had a
lower
couple.
stakes. I mean, that's part of what I love
Yes.
about Atelier. It's not supposed to be end of the world stakes. It's supposed to be low stakes.
Yep. And there was an end of the world stakes there. You know what's funny? We never even mentioned there was actually a plot to Delphi. It was
Fair, I
something,
guess.
yeah, she was something about finding this big tree. And a lot of the things you did throughout the game were to find this tree. Like, fruit had shown up throughout the years. And I played attention to the plot story stuff. And I thought it was cool at one point that you solved the issue of where this tree was in the world because everybody was out looking for it, couldn't find it. All the alchemists kept making stuff. And Liddy and Sue, oh no, it was the other ones. It was the two Shallies that made a glass that let you, like, make glasses that let you see things that were hidden via alchemy. And then you could see the tree. And it was the same thing that in their game they had done it to find a pirate ship that nobody could find. So, like, they pulled plot points from other games and were like, oh, you know, we once alchemized something to help us see things that we couldn't discover, and we did it. But God knows what the end of that plot was. It was just find the tree, whatever, and now Dad's pissed, and Nelki was never heard from again. That I swear that last the end scene just killed me with, like, she was deleted from the annals of history or something. Like, the way they worded it was so, like, my God. I'm like, all I did was get to 47,500 people instead of 50,000. Give me 3 more days, Dad. 3 more days, I would have done it. But because of that, I'm shit and never heard from again.
Sometimes,
But
Matt, we just have to have rules and we have to
there
follow
are.
them, even if they're
That was a
dumb.
hard limit. That was a hard limit. You are correct. So, no, my little fixes would be maybe extend the time limits a little bit. Maybe you could have a difficulty slider that extends it. Like, hey, make it easy, 50% more time for stuff. Instead of a game over, I wish it would have said, do you want to rewind 20 days to the beginning of this quest or something like
Yeah.
that? Or pick a chapter to start from. Like, okay, I've beat chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, okay, so I lost chapter 8. But you know what? If I start chapter 7 over, I know there are things, like, I know there was stuff in the chapter where I could make money that gave me population boosts. But because I didn't do them, that wasn't the quest, and I didn't know the next quest would be make more population, I didn't get to all that, which sucked. Or the fact that I had 5, 6 days left at the end of quest 7. Those days just disappeared, and it was like, hey, Dad just sent you a new message, time to start quest 8. And I'm like, but I had 6 days. Like, what happened to those 6 days? They're just gone. So, and also, we need a little bit of optimization for the Switch because I just played it, and the load times between just dialogue, what did you call it? The puppet theater,
Yeah,
Kel?
popsicle puppet theater, because all it
Yep.
is just looks like art assets on popsicle sticks.
Yeah, that's all, like a visual novel kind of. You have the background, you have girl on the right, girl on the left talking to each other, and I would fast forward through those, but it would take 10 seconds to load that. It was loading no 3D assets. It was just loading a background, two people and words. Like, come on.
Because, like, I understand when a game has a lot of characters and a lot of dialogue, like a Disgaea game or an Atelier game, having that art style for it, but when it
Yeah, I
feels
mean they're
forever to
bringing back
load,
literally every character ever in the series, so, you know, 3D models of all them and everything weren't going to happen. You're just going to have the yard assets, like you said.
yeah,
And
but.
let's also not forget the fact they I had a thought and I just lost it. I apologize. They also
They
brought in
had.
like some a number of the side characters too, like all the Pamelas.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, there was only one Pamela.
Oh, you don't have the DLC then.
Oh, then no.
I have the
I surely
DLC. I have
wasn't
all the
paying for
Pamelas.
DLC. Oh, well, there you go. Let me tell you, I mean, I went through 80 turns in the game and a new character popped in every turn. I did have to chuckle about, I don't know, 30 turns into the game where they stopped making a big deal of it. Like at the beginning, like you would have these whole introductions and this and that. Oh, where am I? Oh, you're in this town. Oh my gosh, I was out doing this. I was by about turn 30 or 40 or something, it would just be like a new character came to town. Oh, hey, you're here too. Yeah, I'm Sophie's friend. Okay, you want to work at our town? Sure, I'll stay and work. Thanks. I mean, how many times can you really do that? So yeah, they shortened those introductions, but much like the skit there, there was just so many pop-ins of random people from different worlds, and yeah, that was not really explained. There was just some phenomenon going on that drew people to the city.
Everybody went with it.
Yep. So I thought it was
No,
funny.
go
There was
ahead.
actually one quest that you purposely don't finish in the game. Might have been quest 6 or set like 8 and okay, so 8 was my make 3 million, 9 was the one I failed. So it might have been 7 or 6 that you were supposed to make a dad's like, you need to make a college. You need to make or an alchemy school. And you go around and there's lots of little scenes, puppet theater of her talking to the different alchemists and they're like, actually, I just learned to be an alchemist. Like, I'm not ready to, because you're encountering these people kind of, as they were in their game, not like Sophie years later being the teacher to all the other ones. So you actually, you've got a friend that's your right-hand man in the game, and he kind of takes the blame and says, like, and all the alchemists there are like, we're also trying to get back to our world, by the way. We're just here for a little bit, just guest starring. We got to get back to our world at some point. So, no, we're not going to,
Commit to your
form a
giant
big
college.
alchemy college with you. Yeah. So the guy kind of, you actually lose. And I was like, oh man. Which is another reason why I didn't really fully expect to get a game over with, my other one. I thought maybe I'd get a bad grade or something. And like, oh, well. Yeah. You just flat out don't do it. He retires in disgrace and then comes back later and like his name spelled backward is your childhood friend. Who hit you with there was so much BS in this game. By hour 25, when I knew I was losing, I was like, I don't really care. I didn't care about much of this game, and now I really don't care about the game plot.
I'm so sad they beat you down, Matt.
They did. I was fast forwarding everything I could to try to finish it, and all I wanted to do was play more Smile Alchemist. At
Is
least
that
in that
sad
game, I
when the
could do the.
Kimco game's better than the official one?
Yep. Which was also funny because there was something about it, like childhood memories, and I kept thinking, like, I was getting mixed up with Nelki. I'm like, is they gonna have somebody come back that is your childhood friend? Like, that just happened in Nelki, and it was spelled backwards, the guy's name. And also, Smile Alchemist did that because, what is it? The main character's name was Knight, Nyack, Nayc, which was just the main, his teacher's name, Cyan, spelled backwards. I'm like, okay, seriously? We have this again? But. Oh well, Nelki needs fixing, and I wonder if that Resilariana was kind of, hey, if we're gonna just throw a bunch of alchemists in the game again, if we're gonna do something like this again,
Again.
let's pare it back. Let's put in 10 alchemists, not every freaking side character ever. We don't need 20 Pamelas. Oh, that would have been helpful to run my stores. I was running out of stores. That's one reason why I couldn't. There was limits. Arbitrary limits to like the number of shops and everything you could build, and I mean part of that is because you didn't have people to run them, so I was getting annoyed by the arbitrary limits. I'm like, there's
Maybe me
space to
having the
build.
DLC would give me a different experience then.
Yeah, I mean they would have had to but there were times where like I went to go build another atelier or build another shop and it was like you've reached the limit for number of buildings you can build, and I'm like, then why is there freaking 20 by 30 spot there that I can put roads on, but I can't build any more buildings on it. Like, what am I supposed to be doing? I got 3 million gold that I built up, and now I can't even spend it. So, some good ideas, many bad ones.
Yeah.
Let's bury it and move on here. So our last, we
Oh,
always
go
have
ahead.
one at the end, and we made Sam write our memory, so we better do it.
Okay, well, do you guys have any memories associated with this, with any of these games?
I played all of them right in a row. I think since February, I went Sophie, Sophie 2, Nelki with a pause in the middle for Smile Alchemist, and then finish up Nelki. So it's been the past 3 months for me. And like I said, Nelki was so bad, I played Atelier Kimco. That's how it impacted me. It made me play something else.
Rip.
Sam wrote down that she had the pleasure, and she used the word pleasure, of seeing Nelki at TGS 2018, and things seemed very positive then. And then she had to review the game, and it sucked. So, I mean, at least I went into it knowing that this is gonna suck, and
Everyone tried to tell you.
everybody tried to tell me, and I knew. I was like, okay, I'm committed. I'm the one who said we're gonna keep up Atelier April. And if we're gonna do Mysterious, might as well do that too.
See,
Actually,
no
I don't know
one
who put
warned
Nelki
me.
on there.
No
I don't
one
know who put
warned
Nelki on
me.
this list.
Because I was commenting on our stream channel. It's like, yeah, I think I'll
When
play this for like
did
a
you
stream
play
or two.
this? Back when
What?
it came out? Did you play it back when it came out, or
No.
when did you do it?
Oh, God. What? You know what? I can find it because I had to get the cover thing for our stream. Because I streamed, like, I did a stream of it one
Yeah.
morning. So let's see.
So is it
Nalki.
post-COVID or pre-COVID?
Let's see. Oh, whoops, I'm in the wrong. No. Stafter.
By the way, if Sam didn't say it, she gave Nelki a 2.
Yeah,
2 out of 5.
2023.
Oh, okay, so kind of recently then.
Yeah, so yeah,
You had time to have been warned.
yeah,
Somebody should have warned you.
well, I commented about it in the stream team channel though. So,
Oh, there you go.
but you know, as again, my mentality when I started playing is like, this is a mobile game. That was totally what I said. I even said that on stream. I was like, this is a mobile game. This feels like it's a mobile game because I've played a lot of mobile games. I was like, oh, this is just, you know, the walking simulator mobile game. I've played these before.
Yeah,
So
and you
I.
know what? As such, maybe that would have been the better idea.
And me, I remember playing Sophie. That was still one of the ones I was playing on Vita. And this was, I want to say the previous games had all been, yeah, the Dust games had all gotten like really nice special editions, because that was when NIS was still doing it, and this one was one of the first ones. I think it was digital only. Kind of a bummer because they moved over to Koei Tecmo. But thankfully the game still played really well on Vita, but that ended up just being the kind of like luring me into a false sense of security when Firis came along.
Yeah.
I believe this concludes Atelier April, but are we ready for another theme month?
Ooh,
Another
boy.
theme? I don't know if Matt can handle it.
Looking at the number of people that signed up for the another theme, the answer is no, we're not ready. We have Cassie and hopefully Elena next time.
Yes, we're doing Mystery Dungeon May.
Yep. We're
And I better
gonna
put
talk
my
all the
time off for June here.
Yeah. Also, I put a note on there for your June one. You wrote, your normal dependent on days off. Also, we might need 2 days to cover this. We don't need the Tam's note version. We need Cliff. Get Cliff in there with Tam to cut his notes in half.
Oh, for Final Fantasy?
Final
Yeah.
Fantasy, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, the problem with the Final Fantasy 14s is they, and
There's a lot. It's a lot. I
it's a
get it.
lot, and then they keep adding stuff with all the patches, and the patches, you know, it's still part of that expansion. And so
Yep.
that's
Then
how
they
come
added a
it's like,
patch. More stuff happened. The end.
yeah, we're not, yeah, no,
I
I
know.
don't,
Tam cannot do that. That is not the Tam Notes version.
yeah. It's not like WoW where yeah they add like they've tried to add stuff, but it's really just they although the most recent expansion actually did a much better job of it, where they add stuff with patches to lead into like the raids and whatnot. So WoW is kind of getting into the Final Fantasy 14 way of storytelling lately.
Well, yeah, because 14's been kind of eating their lunch lately.
Midnight's actually pretty good though. I've enjoyed Midnight, although I've heard some rough things with the most recent patch. patch.
Yeah, I've heard not heard good things either.
Of the patch, not the expansion as a whole.
No, I've no the pat the most recent patch, they've accused them of using AI, because they said that they were going to start doing 8-week patch cycles and cut some corners, and it didn't sound very good.
Well, they had to take down housing.
Oh,
Yeah, housing
lovely.
broke bad.
But this isn't a WoW podcast. We're not going to
No.
talk about that for the time being. We want to talk Mystery Dungeon in a couple of weeks, which I am excited about. I love the Mystery Dungeon games.
I
We'll
don't really
talk
get into
Pokemon
them.
ones and then non-Pokemon ones.
Yeah,
I've tried a few, but I just can't get into them. Mostly because I get my butt whooped.
Yeah, I mean, I was all excited when we talked about this, and then I was like, well, I beat the two Dragon Quest ones and one of the Pokemon ones, and then realized I'm not good at these and I'm not going to do these anymore.
I mean, there's also Chocobo's Mystery
Oh, yeah,
Dungeon.
there's a bunch of them.
You've got, gosh, what
I
else?
would consider
Sheeran.
as painful as this sounds, Sima the Enemy as a mystery dungeon.
I'm sorry, I cannot remember that game for the life of me, but we'll get.
I'm not surprised.
I'm tr trying. No, I'm try trying to think of, like, even non-official Mystery Dungeon games that still have that style, like
Sharon the Wanderer.
F Fatal Labyrinth. Well, Sheeran the Wanderer is an official one.
I know, but it's oh, okay.
It's just not themed around a existing property. There was a couple of Etrian Mystery Dungeons.
Yep. And you know what? That's the one I peaced out on the Etrian one.
You weren't the only one.
No, I and you know, I put in a good amount of time. I must have played like 15 hours, and I apparently, had I known it, I would have probably continued with it, but yeah, they basically had, what's the whole thing with the Etrian and the foes, the FOEs? They kept attacking the town, and I'm like out doing one dungeon and trying to make my way through another one, and you get a notice that you got to run back to town or the town's going to be destroyed. And I, at the second or third time that happened, I was like, I'm done. I can't even just go explore and beat things because I have to keep going back. And I had a friend who ended up beating it. He's like, you know, if you defeat each foe like two times, like they never come back. And I was like, ah.
Yeah, you had to keep a lot of plates spinning in
Yes,
that
and that was it.
particular
After a
game.
while, I was like, nah, this is not the Atelier, or this is not the Etrian I was here for. Much like Nelki. This was not a celebration of Etrian.
But given that one of the Pokemon Mystery games is one of my favorite games, I'm really looking forward to this particular podcast. But well, both of them, because I just remembered. Oh yeah, I guess the Chocobo ones do count.
Yeah.
But looking forward to that. In the meantime, post-humanimous thank you to Sam for joining us, who had to go to bed. And of course, thank you to J Josh and Robert, who came to hang out with us tonight.
Always a fun time.
And Matt, who I could not do this show without. Thank you very much for everything and the skit this week, which cracked me up way more than it should have.
Thanks to Jonathan Stringer. He was recently on RPG Cast and had he was sharing a couple of weeks ago some RPG backtrack stories from, golly, how long have we been doing it? And then add 10 years, 15 years ago, he was talking about when he was had done stuff and maybe
Since 2021.
co-hosting back then. Yeah, he was talking about how, like, he might have done some hosting, but then he had a daughter and he's like, yeah, I think my daughter's like, he said something like his daughter's 13 or 14, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, that would have been a long time ago.
Actually, according to my folders, we started in late 2020.
We did. We were, I want to say, either early December or late November.
Yeah, because there's two episodes there, so probably
So
in
that
the
was probably our
summer
December. Yeah.
at some point. And then yeah, kept us going, and have gotten a lot of compliments about the shorter shows and just the overall format. So I'm happy that everybody's happy, and we're looking forward to next in a pair of weeks talking about Mystery Dungeon.
Jonathan, your daughter's older. You could come back and be on again. We're not 3-hour shows.
No, we're all tired.
But But that's why we have old Sam to help us start early.
On Sam shows, I've always got to make dinner plans to just do something so that I could just throw it in the oven. And I got to make use of the a rarely used feature on my stove where I can have it come on at a certain time. Or oven, rather. It's like here at 5 o'clock, heat to 400 degrees, and just throw the casserole in, and dinner's good. And now I get to go to bed before midnight. You guys do too.
Yay!
I woke up. I mean, it's only 8:20 for me.
Ah, you mountain timers.
Well, I also woke up at like 5 o'clock to be here. So,
right. No, no worries.
Well, I was up at 3 a.m. this morning. Just I wasn't up till 3 a.m. I went to bed and woke up at 3 a.m.
Well, if we're talking about Tam's bedtime, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yep. And of course, thank you to the listener who we do this show exclusively for, you guys.
That was a fun one.
Yep. Tune in a pair of weeks for the Mystery Dungeon May. Have a good rest of your week, and we shall chat at you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.